to Glow in the Dark.
Glow in the Dark. Glow in the Dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. We are into the adventures of Alibi Jones. I read to you from my science fiction novels and short stories and comic book adaptations. And we are getting into Chapter 10 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. Now, if you haven't been listening, don't go. Stay here. I'm going to fill you in on the details so you can get into the chapter that's coming up. You see, what seemed like a fairly routine mission just became a lot more complicated. Alibi Jones and his covert ops team, acting as free traders, delivered illegal seafood to small-time crime boss Tony Yang on the planet Argentium. But they were really there to scope out the location of a stolen alien power core and to try to steal it back for the Solar Alliance. After they delivered their cargo, taking surreptitious scans of Yang's place, as Alibi and Emily were leaving Yang's, Alibi saw someone who looked like Solar Alliance scientist Dr. Krishnamurti being whisked into the place. He's an old friend of Alibi's, Krish. And Alibi just got a call from Krish. It was him. Because Yang has kidnapped him. Probably to help get the alien power core to work. Well, Krish needs Alibi's help. He just called. And we're going to pick up the story there in Chapter 10 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a little bit of news. Did you know I've been writing for Medium, or writing at Medium, for myself? I just posted a new article. What's a podcast? Looking back at a dozen years of podcasting. And I'm talking about this podcast. 12 years of doing this month. With episode 500 approaching, on target for December. I write about learning how to do it, how to podcast. And how I've been podcasting my fiction. I write about audiobooks and pioneers and Balticon and the new media family. It's all over at Medium.com. What's a podcast? There are also a series of articles I've written there on Marvel's Star-Lord, and you can read my Ned Stark Richard III comparison too. And there's the first article in my Plantagenet War series. So again, that's all at Medium.com, and there is a link in the show notes to my articles. And the brand new article is on 12 years of podcasting. What's a podcast? As I say in the article, I don't have to answer that question as much anymore, which is kind of nice. On the way next, I've got Chapter 10 coming up of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We're more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
Now here's Chapter 10 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Krish? Shush, Krish cautioned. I'm in the big manor, up on the hill, under guard.
How did you activate my wand like that? Alibi asked.
Project Mods, Krish whispered. Not important now. Well, actually, it is important. Alibi, thanks to the mods, your wand can create a field around you that will make you invisible to the manor's security systems.
I didn't know it could do that, Alibi said.
It couldn't. Can now. I just sent it the programming, Krish said. I was able to... Gotta go! Alibi's wand switched itself off.
Hope Krish is okay.
Alibi looked at the wand.
Huh. Maybe I have an easy way in.
He scrolled through a few different settings to see if he could spot what Krish had done, but something was still installing itself. Wasn't evident yet. He'd have to check later. He tucked the wand away and walked up the hill.
You are going somewhere.
Alibi recognized the growling voice before he turned and saw Cat walk up beside him. Cat, thought you were dealing with the embassy staff.
I was, and then I wondered where you were, so I decided to find you.
Was it that easy?
You are going to the manor to somehow figure out how to get inside?
Don't know what you're talking about, Alibi said, while nodding. He held a finger to his lips, trying to let Cat know he should be careful in what he said.
I am going with you, Cat said, wherever it is that you are going.
Wonder if the wand's field can cover two of us.
Okay, I guess. Thanks, Cat, Alibi said. The two of them made their way up the hill towards the manor's main gate. Before reaching it, Alibi led them down a side street, so they could circle around the wall and grounds of the manor. He shot sideways glances at the wall as they walked, looking for openings. Didn't seem to be any. Save finding a convenient side entrance, his plan was to walk around to the back gate, the delivery gate they'd gone in through earlier, try to distract the guards, and walk in. It wasn't a complex or well-thought-out plan. Improvising, Alibi said aloud.
What?
Cat asked. Talking to myself, really, Alibi said. Trying to figure out a way in.
You don't have one? Cat asked.
Not as such, Alibi said.
Oh.
That seemed to silence Cat for the moment. They walked down the street without talking, Alibi looking off to his right at the wall every so often, looking for any other entrance besides the delivery gate they were heading towards. Alibi felt the wand vibrate in his pocket. Drawing it out, he saw Krish's new programming was available. Hold on, Cat, Alibi said, stopping the decor. I want to see something here. Alibi triggered the new program pack. The wand called back to the ship on a secure subchannel and grabbed data on the manor, giving Alibi a pinpoint map of where Krish was being held on the wand's display. Alibi saw how the program was working and added the data on where the power source was being kept. Same place, Alibi said. They've got Krish working on the power source, looks like. Alibi showed Cat the display. Cat studied it for a minute.
Now two floors below ground, Cat said.
It looks like all the important parts of the manor are below ground, Alibi said. Seems to be how Yang built it. Bunker mentality.
Well, Cat said, it is a very nice bunker.
Looks like a regular place from the outside, Alibi said. But above ground seems to be all servants' quarters, kitchens, storage, stuff like that.
Yang has living shields, Cat observed.
I suppose he does at that, Alibi said. He liked Yang even less. Alibi poked around the new program pack and found something marked Field Nullifier. Alibi chuckled. That sounds like Krish. He said he'd figured out a way to make me invisible to the manor's security systems. Bet it's this.
Will it work for both of us? Cat asked.
I don't know, Alibi admitted. Wondered about that myself. As they approached the back delivery gate, Cat pointed out the other problem awaiting them.
We might be invisible to the electronics of the manor's security systems, Cat said, but we are certainly visible to the human components of that system.
Alibi again held his finger to his lips to quiet Cat. He didn't know what sort of listening devices might be working this close to the gate. We'll get in line, Alibi said. He gestured at the waiting delivery transports lined up at the gate. Cat and Alibi sauntered over to the transports, walking along them away from the gate until they reached the end of the line of seven. A Dakur and a human stood guard at the rear of the last transport. They turned, eyeing the newcomers warily, as Alibi and Cat took up a position at the end of the line, behind them. Hey, Alibi said, nodding as they queued up. The Dakur didn't move.
The man grunted. "Huh," he said. He turned back towards his transport. The Darkura turned as well. "Uh-huh," Alibi said. He looked at Cat. "Guess we'll wait here." They stood in place. Another transport pulled in behind them. Two Darkura got out of the cab. Alibi's translator didn't pick up the growled exchange between them, but Wen went to the rear of their transport and took up a secure position, so he assumed they were merely deploying security. Another transport glided up into the line behind them. Then the transports ahead in line started to move, the first moving up and through the delivery gate ahead. Alibi and Cat moved with the line. Alibi was hoping the people behind them would assume they were with those in front of them. If they were lucky, the two guards in front of them assumed they were the advanced security for the ones behind. It was a lot to hope for. He tried to think of ways to reinforce that idea, if need be. For now, they'd keep quiet.
"How long is this going to take?"
the Darkur guarding the front of the transport behind them complained. Alibi and Cat turned to the other Catman. "Looks like three more transports before ours," Alibi said, nodding towards the transport in front of them. "Probably 20 minutes more if they're going at their usual pace."
"You know, huh?"
the Darkur said.
"Been here before?"
"Yeah, we deliver here a lot," Alibi said.
"First time for us," the Darkur said. "We are apprehensive."
"Heavy security, but they get you through pretty fast," Alibi said. "Should be fine."
"Good,"
the Darkur said. Alibi thought he sounded nervous. Alibi had another thought. "My associate and I often help first-timers," Alibi said. "I'm surprised you didn't look us up. It can be a tricky process getting in the first time." The Darkur growled.
"I am out of money."
"Sorry," Alibi said. He backed away a little. Cat turned and walked off ahead, to about halfway between the transports.
"It is also an expensive process getting in the first time," the Darkur said. "The embassy charges a great deal to arrange these meetings. And then, to have to sit and watch the human eat, and be humble as we greeted him after? All a bit much to ask."
"Didn't mean to bother you," Alibi said. "And as you can see, we're already working." The Darkur looked past Alibi and Cat at the transport ahead of them.
"That other human looks angry," the Darkur said. "And he's looking right at us."
"He may not like me talking to you," Alibi said. "I better go see him." The transports ahead began to move as Alibi turned. He turned back to the Darkur. "You might want to follow a little further back," he said to the Darkur, gesturing with a nod towards the transport in front of them. "Just for the sake of room."
"Good idea," the Darkur said.
Alibi walked over past Cat up to the man behind the transport in front of him, who kept scowling and staring at Alibi as he approached. "My boss wants to know if there's a problem," Alibi said in a quiet voice as he reached the man. He didn't want the Darkur behind them to hear. "You look angry."
"He's a little close," the man said. He squinted at Alibi. "You with him?"
"Freelance," Alibi said. "I help first-timers." The man looked past Alibi, back at the Darkur.
"Looks green," he said.
"And cheap," Alibi added. "I'm still hoping to get paid."
"Well, tell him to keep back," the man said.
"Already did," Alibi said, "just before I came over. Thought that might be the problem." The man's scowl softened.
"Okay, then," he said.
"I'm going to stand in front of our transport," Alibi said, nodding back towards the Darkur. "Said I'd be a buffer so he'd know where to follow. If you're okay with that. Trying to teach him the way it's done."
"Sounds okay," he said.
Behind him, his transport lurched forward, sliding up two spots as the next two transports at the front of the line went in through the gate together. He turned away to jog up and catch his charge. Alibi waited as Cat caught up to him.
"Is everything all right, Alibi Jones?"
Cat asked. "I think so," he said. "Walk ahead, but wait for me a few meters behind that transport in front of us."
"Will do,"
Cat said, though he cocked his head, looking at Alibi quizzically. He walked ahead. Alibi walked back to the Darkur. "My boss thinks you're following a little close." "Sorry," Alibi said. "He wants me and my partner to stand between our transport and yours so you'll know about how far to stay back." Hope that's okay.
I am sick of these rules, the Dark Corps said. But if that helps, fine. I will stay back behind you.
Sorry, Alibi said, and thanks. He turned and walked back up to Kat. I'll be damned if this works, Alibi said, but I didn't know what else to try. They each think we're with the other one right now.
Do they?
So far. The transport ahead of them slid up to wait in front of the gate. Alibi broke out his wand and turned it on, keying Krish's package to generate a null field around himself and, hopefully, Kat. He turned all system resources over to the field nullifier, hoping that full power would help hide them both. He dropped the wand back down into his pocket. We'll walk around the transport on the right side, away from the checkpoint, as it rolls through, Alibi said to Kat in a low voice. If challenged, tell them you already showed your ID and keep walking. Always act as if you know exactly what you're doing.
That is the secret, is it not? Kat said.
Before Alibi could answer, the transport ahead began to move. Alibi and Kat jumped to jog up on the right as the man in Dakur guarding it went over to the left to show credentials. Security scanners hummed, built into the gate's right wall. Hoping the wand's mod was working, Alibi and Kat walked past them alongside the transport as it went through the gate, into the grounds of the manor. No guards on their side of the transport.
Relying too much on their scanners, we're lucky.
They continued walking along with the transport until they'd made their way about 50 meters down the delivery path. As the human and Dakur transport guards began to walk around to their side of the vehicle, Alibi grabbed Kat and pulled him off the path into the dark.
That was Chapter 10 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi and Kat are sneaking into Tony Yang's. Sneaking back in. We can see if they make it in our next chapter. Chapter 11 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on the way on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. I hope you'll be back next time around. Remember, check out that story. I've got that new story about my 12 years of podcasting over at Medium.com. What's a podcast? Looking back at a dozen years of podcasting. There's a link in the show notes. And thank you for listening for as long as you have. That is it for this week. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.